press in for language and an understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus as far as a local expression of the body of Christ. We continue to search for His will for us and what it looks like practically. Why are we here? You know, why do we exist here at the Vineyard? And I've said over and over in my own mind, we are definitely here for more than gathering from week to week, singing some songs about Jesus and hearing some good stories about Him and then going on our way. But we've been searching, and it's been, just for me personally, at least from my perspective, it's been a challenging time. But it's been an exciting time. It's been an expectant time. On the one hand, there's a sense of expectation that the Holy Spirit is going to continually encounter us with His powerful presence. He's going to empower us for effective ministry, supernatural ministry. And while, really, on the other hand, there's a tension of hungering for a clearer understanding of why we exist as a faith family. It's both exhilarating and gut-wrenching, at least from my vantage point. When we seek the Lord for clarity about who we are as a church, we can strive to understand His purpose and how it practically works out in a lot of different things. Like, how do we minister to the Lord practically? What are we called to do from the standpoint of Scripture? What are we called to do as a faith family? How do we minister to the Lord? Because we recognize that we are alive together with Him for one purpose alone, to minister and to worship Him. That's why we're alive. How do we do that? We can struggle and we can strive for understanding in that regard. Or how do we minister to one another? You know, what does it look like to be a committed fellowship of believers, committed to one another and committed to the Lord together? What does that practically look like? Is it simply a gathering on Sundays or small group stuff during the week? Is that what it looks like? What does it look like? We can strive and we can ask the Lord for clarity on that. And then how do we minister to our world? How do we step out of this place and go and share the extravagant love of Jesus Christ to our neighbors and to the world? We can strive for that. We can hunger and thirst for God to speak to us in that regard. But there's one thing that we do not have to worry or wonder about. There's one thing that we do not have to be anxious about, that God is very clear and very explicit in His word that we are called to do as a faith family. And I'd just like to make a statement. It is God's will that we devote ourselves to prayer. It is God's will that we devote ourselves to prayer. I've noticed something specifically about my own life, and I'm not sure if it's, as I untie my shoe, I'm not sure if it's the same for you in life, but there's a tendency as we pray for things, and maybe our prayers don't get answered in the way we anticipated them to be answered or in the time that we anticipated them to be answered, we start waning in our diligence to prayer. We're just like, what are we doing? You know, this is just, you know, I've been praying for the salvation of my mother-in-law for, you know, as long as I've known her. And, you know, don't seem any closer to seeing that happen than I did the first day I started praying. We've been praying for, in particular, Russ Marhefka to receive healing in his body, really since the day I've known him. And to some extent, you don't see the fruit of that prayer. So there's a tendency to wane in our diligence and our devotion to prayer. But God says to us, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote your whole lives to prayer. It is my will for you, both as individuals and as a faith family, to be devoted to prayer. And oftentimes in my own life, prayer seems to be the last resort. I've done everything that I know to do, And that hasn't worked, so now I need to pray. Everything else I've tried to do in my own strength, but now it's time to pray. We've talked about this in our community group this past week, you know. Prayer is a powerful, powerful thing. It should be our initial response to circumstances, our initial response to things that we deal with in life. Prayer is a powerful thing. And I'm here to tell you, as the pastor of this church, we are going to reclaim a focus on devoted prayer. You may have a really rich individual prayer life that you experience in your home. But if we think back to our life as a church, as a faith family here, it's time to devote ourselves to prayer. It's time to devote ourselves to prayer. We've had some great encounters as we've prayed together. I just remember just a few months back as we met to seek the Lord on direction for this faith family, and we devoted ourselves to prayer on a Friday night, and the Lord began to speak to us and show us his will for this place, begin to speak clearly about who we are, begin to help us understand with greater clarity about who we are. You saw a sense of unity among the body that I haven't experienced. And it was all from the foundation of a devoted life to prayer. We readily express the sentiment that I've done everything I know to do. I guess I'll pray now. But it's time as a church, it's time as a faith family to pray. The fact of the matter is that history tells us that anyone who's been effective in Christian ministry, anyone who's had experience of the supernatural power of God to do the work of Christ, has viewed and practiced prayer as a primary part of their relationship with God. Let's just take a brief look at the cross-section of the New Testament. In addition to these two passages that drive home the support for my statement that God's will is for us to be devoted in prayer. After Jesus' resurrection, as the disciples wait for the promised Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says what? It says, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. Same word that's used in the passages we've already read. Together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. And then after 3,000 souls had been added on the day of Pentecost to the kingdom of God, here's what the church was doing according to Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. How about the apostles as the church began to grow and other things started to crowd in and try to take their attention off of the word and prayer? What does the apostles say? They say, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. What does Paul say to the Roman Christians in Romans chapter 12, verse 12? Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. As an aside, since I began this talk from the foundation that this church's pursuit for clarity and calling is upon us, I recognize that we need to be a group that's devoted to prayer. We don't get in any way, shape, or form clarity from the Lord without devoting ourselves to prayer. He will reveal himself as we pray. He will reveal himself as we devote together to prayer. So what does this prayer look like? So what does it practically look like? First of all, according to these passages that we've read, prayer is persevering. Prayer is persevering. Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly. Some of your versions may say, persevere in prayer, or continue always in prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Ephesians 6:8 says, praying at all times, all times in the Spirit. And to that end, praying at all times, be alert with all perseverance. Praying is persevering. Praying at all times, continue steadfastly in prayer. Praying with all perseverance says a lot about what we think about God. As I mentioned a little earlier, the tendency is as prayers don't get answered from time to time, we say, certainly there's nothing going on here. God's not helping us. God's not hearing us. We just need to stop praying. But a persevering prayer, a prayer that is constant and steadfast, no matter what our situation looks like, says to God and says of ourselves that we are confident that He is sovereign, that He is in control, and that He cares and loves us, that His banner over us is love. A continual, steadfast, fervent prayer says that we are confident in God. No matter what we see in this natural realm, no matter what we face in this natural realm, a continual, persevering prayer says that we are confident in Him. Now, I've been a follower of Christ for more than 30 years now, and I don't know about you, but there are still times that I anticipate the Lord to answer my prayer. And I'm waiting on Him to answer, and thoughts of unbelief come in. They're like, why are you praying? You've been praying for this for so long. Why are you even praying? And the enemy comes in to try to deceive and to steal and to kill and destroy what God has planted in my heart, the truth of the Word of God. Why are you even praying? What good has that done you? But I continue in prayer because a persevering prayer says that I am confident that God is sovereign, that He is in control, that He is God and I'm not. That He is God and I'm not. A persevering prayer says a lot about what we think about God. The temptation is to stop praying or to try to make something happen on our own. Persevering in prayer, continuing steadfastly, praying at all times simply says God is in control and He cares. It also underscores the fact that we are not in control. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We are not in control. Isn't that good news? That's good news. The tendency is to think we're in control, but we are not in control. God, the Creator of heaven and earth, says that everything was created for His glory. And as we persevere in prayer and we say with our attitude, our posture, our perseverance in prayer, He is God and He will receive glory. Whether I live or die, whether I live or die, Christ is glorified in me. And that comes from a persevering prayer. God is in control and He cares. Paul tells us again in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. It's plain and simple. God desires us to persevere in prayer. What else does this prayer look like? Prayer is watchful. Colossians 4:2 says to be watchful and pray continually. It's not just pray continually, but as you pray, be watchful. Be watchful. What does that mean? Have you ever noticed as you read the Bible that Jesus in the Gospels, a couple of places, He tells His disciples to watch and pray. Not just pray. Don't just go pray. Watch and pray. He says in Mark 13:37, and what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Stay awake. In other words, watch. The same word, watch. Likewise, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, about to be betrayed and about to pour out His blood for all mankind. He says in Mark 14:37 to His disciples, He says before this, a little bit before in verse 34, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch, He tells His disciples. Verse 37 of chapter 14 says, and He came and found them sleeping. And He said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch for 1 hour? This may be a difficult word, but I feel like it maybe it's even a word for me and our faith family here. He says, Vineyard, are you sleeping? That's right. That's hilarious, isn't it? That's good. Are you sleep? Are you asleep? Can you not watch for 1 hour? There has been a couple of things said over the last month or so as we've stepped toward a new understanding of what God has called us to. As we've stepped out and said, God, we trust you that you have called us to be here in Sonoya. We trust you that you have called us to make a kingdom difference in this town, in this city, in this community. We trust you. As we stepped into that and we said to the Lord, we trust you and we know that you're going to go before us. The enemy has come. And he is trying to deceive, and he is trying to steal, he is trying to destroy. And this is precisely why Jesus says to us, watch and pray. Watch and pray. You know, I was talking to April, and we're in this, I call it a words wrestling match. I've been trying to really just come up with some words that speak to us as a body and who we are and let it connect with everybody and, you know, all this stuff. I'm in this words wrestling match and it's driving me crazy. But April revealed to me that Satan has a nice little vision statement of his own. And it's so clear that everybody remembers it. It's so clear that all his little minions remember it. And we remember it. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This is precisely why Jesus says, watch. Watch for him. Watch for his schemes. Simon, can you not stay awake for 1 hour? Watch and pray. Because the enemy has a vision statement. The enemy has a purpose. And he wants to steal and kill and destroy. Mark 14:38, he says again, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Why does Jesus say frequently, watch and pray, and not just pray? What is this business about being watchful when we pray? Being watchful means being alert, keep your eyes open. In other words, understand that when you're praying, there is opposition. We are not the only team on the field. We are not the only team on the field. When you pray, when you seek the Lord, when you step into your kingdom life that God has called you to, you are not the only team on the field. We have opposition, and the Lord says for us to be alert and watchful. So where is God pressing you in and raising you up into a new level of understanding of who you are in Christ Jesus, and then understanding where the enemy is pressing in and trying to destroy that, trying to steal that out of you. Today the Lord has said that there was a huge banner over all of us, and the banner of God is love over us. Where is the enemy coming in and trying to tell you that there's something different? That God doesn't love you. Otherwise he would have healed you by now. Otherwise, he would have healed your marriage by now. God doesn't love you. The Lord calls us to be watchful of the schemes of the enemy. I can say the thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy, but Jesus has come that I might have life and have it abundantly. And I'm awake and I'm watchful for the schemes of the enemy. According to John 10:10, that's where it is. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he's come to give us life and abundant life. We need to be watchful and alert to the enemy's schemes as we pray. Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. This is what the Lord says. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all the day and all the night. They shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. What are these watchmen doing? They are standing there. They are in full understanding of what God has called them to do. They are in full understanding that Israel, the people of God will be a praise of all the earth. They have heard that word. They have heard the promise of God. And they stand there and they watch. And they watch for any enemy that comes to try to destroy that foundation. They watch for any enemy that comes to try to thwart the plan of God for the people of God. They watch and they pray. And they do not let God rest in their prayers, in their watchful prayers, until his word is fulfilled. How many of you are praying for things and have been praying for things in your life, and the enemy is saying to you today, why are you praying? What has changed through your prayers? What has changed through your prayers? Well, the Spirit of the living God is saying to us today, be watchful for those schemes of the enemy. Stand on the wall and do not let the Lord rest. Pray continually in a watchful attitude that his word would be revealed in your life. Be watchful. And finally, prayer is thankful. Although God has called us to persevere in prayer and to watch and pray, he's also called us to be thankful in prayer. This is another way that we recognize what we think about God. Because you get in the middle of circumstances, you get in the middle of life and stuff happening, it's easy to go, woe is me. This stinks. But Jesus has called us to be thankful in prayer. He says in Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Not just watchful, not continual, but watchful, continual, and with thankfulness. If you're thankful, you understand again that God is in control and he is sovereign. I don't know about you, but I can't say thank you and really mean it and then still be filled with fear and uncertainty and anxiety. You can't say thank you, God, for your goodness in my life and still be filled with fear and anxiety that he's not in control and that he's not doing what's best for you. I heard a story about a lady who was praying for her husband to be saved. Prayed for him for years with little to no fruit throughout that process. Prayed for him over and over and over again. Had the church praying for him. And she would just pray and thank the Lord for who he was in Christ Jesus. Made a declaration of who he was in Christ Jesus in her heart and continued steadfastly even when she didn't see any fruit. And the day finally came when he came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And the story goes the lady just was not all that excited. And everybody was going, what's wrong with you? We've been praying for him for years. And you're not even showing any kind of expression of emotion or joy. She says, I have seen him like that since I began praying for him. So nothing has changed, really. I've been thankful for his salvation. I have seen him saved by the grace of the living God ever since I started praying for him. So this is just already what's happened in the spiritual is just now happening in the flesh. I'm excited, but I've seen him like that from the beginning. And she was willing to persevere in prayer. Paul illustrates this in Philippians 4:6. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let me just share with you that thankfulness, thanksgiving, is diametrically opposed to anxiousness. Anxiety and worry and fretting about stuff is opposed to thanksgiving. It's on the opposite end of the spectrum. This is precisely why Paul says here today, to us, Philippians 4, 6, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, with a thankful heart, make your request known to God. So I really would just like to spend some moments in prayer. We've got a couple of things specifically that we're going to pray about. One in particular, the Marhefkas are looking to colleges. It's unbelievable. You know, Jonah's going to college, and we're going to pray specifically for them that they would be persevering in prayer. They'd be watchful for the schemes of the enemy. And they'd be thankful for God's goodness. And then as well, Debbie wanted to stand in for a friend of hers, correct? Your boss, okay? In prayer. So we're just going to spend just a little bit of time in prayer. I just encourage you. I know, you know, it's late. It's about time to...